Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
Get your free copy of A Guide to Passively Investing in Commercial Real Estate. Inside, you'll learn the basics of passive income and real estate syndication, what kind of returns you can expect, how to find a sponsor, and how to evaluate the risks. Download your copy in the show notes or visit lifebridgecapital.com/investbetter to start your investment journey. This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guest is Tyler Goble. Tyler's a data-driven real estate investor who is fighting human trafficking alongside Unbound Now, a nonprofit based out of Waco, Texas, whose impact is global in the struggle against modern-day slavery. He attended the United States Naval Academy, where he played football and majored in quantitative economics. Following graduation, Tyler served in the Marine Corps Infantry and is currently still active duty, getting his master's degree in operations research. And, you know, the interesting thing about this interview is that Tyler, he's still active duty, and he and his wife are on a mission, right? It's interesting. It's his mother-in-law who started this nonprofit that's global now, that's reaching many, many countries and helping so many victims in human trafficking. And he's combined that with his real estate business. And he is just sharing their passion for this and their why, their mission, and helping, you know, what's pushing them to really grow their real estate business and ways he's doing that successfully while being active duty, right? While really, you know, having that W-2 or that job and getting the business going at the same time. But an amazing story. Just love our military folks, men and women who are serving and how they're making it happen and are creating a real estate business even at the same time. I know you're going to enjoy this story today from him. Good morning and welcome to the show, Tyler. It's an honor to meet you and have you on. And first, I wanted to say thank you for your service. I'm so grateful for our men and women who are serving our country and just willing to risk everything, right? You know, for our safety and the freedoms that we have. But I want to welcome you to the show. You have some big things happening. And, you know, tell us about your just origin story, just your investment companies. I know there's a big why. There's a big reason, a big thing that's pushing you all to do this. And I know that's going to be so inspirational to so many of the listeners who think they also have a full-time job or maybe they're active duty and they have some other passion that they really want to serve in addition, you know, to growing their own business. How have you done that? How did you all start this? And tell us a little about it.
Yeah, Whitney, thank you so much first for having us on and for kind of giving us an opportunity to kind of promote Unbound and Unbound Now and their the work that they're doing in the world of anti-trafficking. And so my wife and I, what we did is we have a real estate investment business. And what we do is we really focus on one single market and do kind of all things real estate inside of that market, as well as kind of branch off and partner with other folks on their deals if the values really align. But yeah, what we're really passionate about is using real estate investing to help fight human trafficking. And so the reason that we did that, I'll kind of backpedal and talk a little bit about my background. So I'm an active duty Marine, infantry officer by trade. So I was down in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina in the swamp, nice and hot. And we got us started our real estate journey there. Before I got married, I had bought a house and did the traditional house hack where you buy the house and all your buddies come live with you. And did that pretty flying by the seat of my pants. So I just bought a house and started renting out the rooms to my friends. And that was great. And then I got married and my wife and I, we flipped another house while we were still in Camp Lejeune. And we had always loved real estate. We always thought it was a fun thing to do. Never really had a huge desire to create a business out of it. We always thought it was something that was a good way to make some extra money. Didn't take too much time because we were just doing it on a smaller scale. And what we did is I got orders out here to the Naval Postgraduate School. And so that's what my current set of orders is I'm getting a master's degree in operations research, which for an infantry officer, like a grunt, that's kind of a funny thing to have happen to you, right? So you're used to playing out in the woods and playing in the mud. And here I am playing with spreadsheets and code, actually, which is hilarious. But when we got ordered out here, we decided that we didn't want to be long distance landlords, and we wanted to kind of free up some of our capital, maybe invest somewhere else, buy a house out here, which we did. And so we sold both those properties in North Carolina when we were moving out here to Monterey, California. And I'm also a Christian guy, so pretty much all the stuff that I do is coming from a Christian worldview. Very try to be very biblical in all the stuff that we do. I know we fall short in a lot of different ways, but that's really what our North Star is the Bible and the principles behind generosity and giving and whatnot. And so when we sold the house, we made about $25,000 off of the flip. And we always tithe off our income. And for listeners that don't know what that is, it's you just 10% of your money to a worthy cause. And so my wife and I, we had been married for a really long time. I think it had been about 10 months at that point. And so kind of experience under our belt as a married couple, just kind of learning, like, when we have money events like this, what do we want to do with it? Who do we want to give it to? What would make sense for us to kind of move forward in that direction? And she suggested Unbound Now, which is her mother's anti-human trafficking nonprofit. And I didn't know a thing about it. And so I was like, yeah, babe, that sounds great. Like anti-human trafficking, like no big deal. In my mind, it was kind of one of those things where her mother ran it. So my mother-in-law is the global founder, global director. And I didn't know the scale at which they were operating. I thought it was just something that she did in Waco, Texas. That was just a nice thing to do. Maybe she helped out a couple folks a year. But I mean, they're global. They've got people in Mongolia. They got people in South Africa. They've got people across the United States doing this work. And so once we finally kind of broke the ice and gave to them, that's when I kind of realized the scope of the problem that we're seeing across the world with human trafficking. And I know it's something that's probably close and near and dear to your heart with how much money you guys give to adoption agencies and helping the adoption process. And so those kinds of folks are the ones who are most at risk.
For sure. No, that's awesome. I mean, just having that why, having that mission. And what I found personally is having something that like you and your spouse are both passionate about, you know, that you both have that why, you both have that mission, especially while you're active duty and doing the real estate business. I would imagine that's, I mean, it's like two full-time jobs, right? And that, you know, that's a lot to get done. And that can be trying, right? For marriage or family, but it's a lot different when you both have the same vision or you both have the same why. They both, you know, have that thing, especially as Christians, you know, you're both united in the Lord. And without that, we'd have never made it. No doubt about it. Maybe personally, but that's a big deal. I feel like, and I didn't realize that in the beginning, just like that why I really shrugged that off, you know, when people would talk about their why. And, but now we've really lived it and are living it. And it's incredible, you know, what the Lord has done. But, you know, I think in when times are difficult, it's been very helpful that it's something my wife was passionate about as well. You know, what about like, I just wanted to go back a little bit in the story and say, you know, you brought up you're newly married and you, you know, share with your bride, or maybe you are probably already talked about it. I don't know, but that you're going to get into real estate, you know, while you're active duty. You know, what was kind of the response, or how did you all discuss that? How were you both, you know, on the same track there? Because I know that's a common thing. You know, some people are fortunate enough to learn about real estate very young and want to do it very young, which is amazing, but it's not always easy for both people, right, to be on track or have those same desires. How did you go about that?
Yeah, so it's once we gave that money to Unbound, that's really the trigger for behind why we decided to make it a business and not just like a side hustle hobby slash exit strategy from the Marine Corps. They'll still be in for another 5 years as of the recording of this. So I've got a long runway here to kind of build this thing. And in our minds, we kind of dreamed a little bit smaller. We always thought that we would acquire maybe one or two properties like every other year, every year, and have a way to get out of the Marine Corps with some residual income. But when we gave that money to Unbound, we gave them about $2,500, which in our minds, it's really not that much, especially when you start talking to real estate investors and making 2% acquisition fees on a $42 million property. Like $2,500, like for us, it was a good amount off of a flip, but for a business, it's really peanuts. And I had a misconception that you needed to be Bill Gates in order to have any sort of difference in charity. Like you needed to be able to give away $100,000 a pop and like build a building for somebody and give it away for free to have any sort of impact. And so when we gave that money to my mother-in-law, Susan, she called us and said, like, Tyler, Lindsay, thank you guys so much. For $5,000, we're able to employ a full-time worker who just sits on the border between Mongolia and China. And all they do is just grab people that are being sold into slavery in China, which is insane. Like, if you really think about it, like, peel back the onion on that thought that for $5,000, you could save, like, if you could save one person's life for $5,000, like, yeah, do it instant. Like, here's my checking account, right? But to have somebody who works 365 days a year and is literally just saving people from being sold into slavery into probably the biggest buyers of labor trafficking and sex trafficking in the world in China, that was just kind of a mind blowing thing. And so, like, when she said that, that's when my spreadsheet brain kind of started going. And I had my spreadsheets for, like, okay, buy one house, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, what if we bought two houses? Like, okay, what if we bought three? Okay, what if we did like 12 a year? Okay, what if we scaled that up and did 24 a year? And so once I saw the power of how quickly you can leverage real estate to really make an impact, that was really what pushed my wife and I out of the nest into deciding to do this thing full time and not just make it a hobby. And so to answer your question, really, it was the realization that we didn't want to wait 5 years to have an impact. We wanted to have an impact right now. And so that's what really launched us into doing this full time. And to explain that to your wife, especially as a young guy, I've got tons to learn about marriage and how to navigate those waters, right? But I think it's really been something that God has used to strengthen our marriage, as well as to give us a purpose for behind a business. Because I think in the Christian community, there's a misconception that making a bunch of money is wrong and business is bad and all those different things. But when we have, because we have such a kind of a kingdom oriented focus, it makes it okay for me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get on a podcast interview out here in California with you. You know, it's not something that Tyler's not waking up at 4 o'clock every day because he's trying to make a big pot of money because he wants to buy like a fleet of Teslas to drive around in, you know? And so trying to stay grounded in that and the reason behind why we're doing, I think why we're doing it. And because it's not just about us, it's truly like about the kingdom and about trying to end human slavery in the world. I think that's why it's a little bit easier for us to kind of justify a lot of the stuff we're doing and kind of keep ourselves oriented on that North Star and
for sure
pointed in a good direction.
So important. And obviously we're not a marriage counseling show, but you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, entrepreneurs don't talk about, you know, family and marriage enough. I don't think, I mean, it's been such a sacrifice for my wife and our family to get to where we're at now. I mean, just a massive sacrifice. And, you know, and even to the point, you know, I mean, everybody's calling you crazy, right? For the things you're having to do in the beginning to get a business going and, you know, why are you doing this and all these things, right? Cause they just can't understand. They can't see how it's worth it. Right. But I know the listeners have heard my story numerous times, you know, just about making those sacrifices and how it's worth it. But, you know, if it meant keeping our marriage or keeping our family together, then I'll go work at McDonald's. I mean, I give it all up. You know, if it really meant that, it's not worth it, right? If it meant your marriage. So I love that, you know, you all are both on board about it. You're both, you know, have this why that's pushing you bigger than that fleet of Teslas like you're talking about. So important, so important. So I wanted to dive in a little bit though on just the fact that you're active duty, you're still, you know, you're doing this business. You know, how are you managing that? Oftentimes I think people would say, well, I'll wait till right before I'm going to, you know, come off active duty or, you know, right when I get out of the military or when I feel comfortable leaving my W-2, whatever that may be. Tell us a little about your schedule. I think it's interesting you mentioned too, hey, I'm willing to be up at 4 o'clock so I can get on some podcasts. You know, I mean, you were, you know, it was 5:40 when we started, you know, in the morning, your time, when we started this interview. So I love that drive. And it's like, I always say the military gave me that never give up mentality. It's like, whatever it takes, or, you know, how do we get started instead of, you know, how hard it's going to be, right? So all about where your focus is, but how have you all done that? How are you managing, you know, like two full-time jobs and family?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it kind of goes back to my background. I played football at the Naval Academy. And so that was a huge time. That's like 3.5 full-time jobs. And so taking like 19 credits of classes that are all gibberish to me a lot of times were some really advanced mathematics. And I was a quantitative economics major and then also playing football and running into 300-pound linemen every day. And so that was a really good foundation for me of just time management. But then moving into the Marine Corps as an infantry officer, I mean, you're working 12, 14 hour days and you're working 12, 14 hour days, but you're probably getting done about 24 hours worth of work a lot of times. And the reason behind that is because you're able to delegate a lot of that and really decide like who's the person that needs to be able to do this type of deal. And so when it comes to running a business and still being active duty, I like to call it like being the big red button guy. And so pretty much what we've gotten and developed and it took us about 6 months to get to this point to where we had the systems in place and the processes and the partnerships and the right people in the right seats to kind of make things happen. But the way I run the business and my wife and I run the business is I'm pretty much the networker, the investor relations kind of guy, the storyteller in a way. And my wife, she's actually getting her master's in interior architecture. And so she does all the different rehab type items. She picks out all the finishes, coordinates with our partners on the ground inside of Waco, Texas. And she runs, once we have the property under contract, so we have two right now that we're running active flips, and she takes the ball at that point. And so everything up until that point is me running numbers, working through financing type things, as well as getting those partnerships in place. And then we have boots on the ground in the market that we're in that then take the ball and get it through the finish line. And so, but a big part of it is I'm really leveraging the skill set that my master's degree has kind of offered me. And so it's really, really funny to think that I'm using like computer programming and code to do what we're doing in the business, and especially like playing football and then going in the infantry. It's very antithetical to kind of the stereotypical jock slash grunt. But what I'm doing is I'm taking computer programming language and I'm pulling information down from the Census Bureau Labor Statistics, Bureau Economic Analysis, Realtor.com, Texas A&M has a really good research website. And I'm sucking all that information down via some code. And I'm synthesizing it and then producing different reports for different zip codes, different counties. The way I kind of have it set up is I take the United States housing market, shrink it down to the state housing market, shrink it down to that county, and then shrink it down to that zip code inside of that county. And so by setting something up like that, it really allows us to be a lot faster than most people when it comes to knowing whether or not an investment's a good decision or not. And so, especially right now with how crazy the market is, people are really, really nervous that it's all going to come crashing down like a house of cards. And so we take a really data-driven approach to all of our investment decisions. And so in addition to our business, like because the code is location agnostic, I've helped my dad do some flips in Florida and just a random zip code say, hey, I found this house and okay, all I need is the address. And we're able to kind of run the numbers for him from that perspective. So it's really, to answer your question, the time management, it's because we got the right people in the right seats and we've decided to kind of set it up in a way to where there was a lot of upfront work. We didn't get to the point of being able to analyze a property in 5 minutes by just like waking up in the morning, but we've set up some systems and we're using really computer programming to accelerate ourselves a little bit faster. And so hopefully my 1 hour is more like 3 hours for most people, but.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love that right there. So hopefully my 1 hour is like 3 hours for most people. I mean, you're able to be that efficient, right? And you're setting up those systems. And especially when you can write code and you're doing those things, you can build that software, build the system to do what you want. It's a pretty amazing skill set to have. But a couple big things there that I hear is that you're not trying to do everything. Right. I mean, you are not trying to do everything. Could you speak on that a little bit? Like I know early on, everybody feels like you have to do everything. I was the same way. And sometimes you do have to do pretty much everything, right, to get started. And then eventually, man, if you want to scale, you got to pull back, right? You got to trust other people. And oftentimes you find the right people, they're going to be better at those things than you ever thought about being. You know, what were any guidance there as far as when you started to really think bigger and think, you know what, I got to find this person to do that or this person to do that. How did you find them? What were a couple of tasks that you started to outsource maybe in the beginning for the listener who's really thinking about or, you know, debating about whether they should find someone else or bring somebody on?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, I tried to do everything for a little bit for about 3 months and man, my hair was on fire. It was very stressful. And what it was for us was we didn't want to give up a piece of the pie because we knew that we could do it because we had already done it. And so I knew it wasn't a complicated process to flip a home, but what we realized was like, we refocused on our mission and we knew that the end goal for us is to be able to give away $1 million a year in active income from real estate and be able to give away $100,000 in passive income to Unbound yearly. And to do that, it doesn't really matter if we're the ones giving it away or if it's our partners or if it's other folks that we talk to. And so from that perspective, we were just very selective on who we decided to be equity partners with. And so we're equity partners on an apartment complex that's going to give away money to Unbound via that syndication. And then our partner who does the project management and kind of deal sourcing down in Waco, he actually works for Unbound. And he does flips down in Unbound. And his partner's also very focused. And so, yeah, we're going to make 50 grand on a flip potentially, right? And we would be able to give away 2,500 of it. But he already gives away his 10% to Unbound. And so that's a $5,000 win there per flip. And so really deciding and really focusing on what the true mission is let us kind of release the grip on we need to drive the train here with profits. And I'm telling you, when that happened, it's like we poured gasoline on the fire. It's like you can incentivize people. Like you can incentivize a real estate agent to find deals for you because they'll get a commission, and you can incentivize contractors to do things. But what I've in our kind of limited time here running the business is you don't really incentivize people until they have an equity stake. And so by giving a partner on the ground an equity stake and really having the buy-in there, and we love him, like he's a great guy. So with his partner, like we really enjoy talking to each other and working with each other. And so that was the thing that really pushed us over the edge and kind of accelerated everything was when we decided to kind of let go of some control and really had an equity partner that was going to be as incentivized to perform as we were. And so it's a scary thing, but we really did our homework on the people. And when you do that, I think that allows you to really kind of get a lot more sleep at night. And it's somebody who wants it to succeed as much as you want it to succeed. And you're not going to have that in a real estate agent or just a regular contractor or somebody else. I don't think at least that's how much work it is to acquire a deal in the single family market right now. I mean, we offered on probably a dozen properties with our agent before we brought our partner in. And it was like, I had my guy running ragged. Like it was terrible for him. Like, I feel bad. How many houses I sent him to that we just got outbid on. And so, yeah, to answer your question, it's really like this realizing that by giving up equity, you're going to lose a little bit of money, but you're going to have somebody who you basically clone yourself in the market.
So you're going to gain so much more by giving a little away, right? Or giving a little equity away, building your team. We've done many shows on teams and team building. And I hope that the listeners, you know, are really thinking about that. I encourage you, if your business is going at all, there's probably room for you to bring somebody on a few hours a week, some kind of virtual assistant, at least to start with. And quickly, though, before we go to a few final questions, tell us a little about, and I want the listeners to think about this too, is just, you know, that why, that mission behind what's driving you and your wife, you know, into this business as you're still working full time or, you know, on active duty. You know, what about how others connect with your why and your mission? How does that just change? I've seen that happen myself over the last few years, and I didn't expect that in the beginning. It wasn't planned that way, but it's changed that investor conversation. It's changed, you know, just the whole relationship, really, right? They can see a different side of me. They can see something, you know, our whole family's passionate about outside of business, right? And real estate. You can talk about real estate next week, right? But right now, let's just get to know each other. And that's a good thing to just bring up, right? And they can just see a different side of you. How have you seen that happen as far as just the investors or relationship building and things like that, networking?
Yeah, I think the vast majority of my conversations with people don't start out with the first 20 minutes talking about real estate. It really is talking about why we think that real estate a lot of times is a great way to leverage yourself, your time, your talents to make an impact beyond yourself. And so really for us, it's always a win if we get to talk about Unbound and we get to talk about how they are on the front lines of fighting human trafficking. And it's a bonus if we get to talk about the business and if they want to get involved in that. But at the end of the day, for us, because the mission is the mission to like help end slavery, right, in the world. And we have kind of that mindset. I think it makes you a lot less pushy. It makes you a lot less like, man, I need you to give me 20 grand right now because I got to get this flip underway. And truly, I think it's one of those things where it could be like a used car salesman pitch where you're like, yeah, we donate to a charity. Like, that's why you should invest with us. But I think when you really believe it and when you actually do it with your checkbook and your pocketbook and you go and we just finished our taxes like a month ago or so, and you can see how much money did you really give? Did you give your 10% or did you give more than that? Or what's your real bottom line number? And so I think that conversation, it drastically changes from a, how is this guy going to make me lose money to how can we help support the fight against human trafficking, whether it's investing with our company or if it's giving directly. Both of those things are a win for us truly. And so yeah, that conversation, it's always a lot more fun too. Like, who wants to like talk about like, this is how I'm going to mitigate your risk because we've got some proprietary code that X, Y, and Z. I'd much rather talk about something that is a lot more relatable for most people. And that is something that's, it's a lot more fun. I really enjoy all my conversations with people. And just like this, it's like, yeah, we talk about real estate, but at the end of the day, it's about making an impact bigger than your pocketbook.
So. I often say, you know, if you're in a room full of 50 or 100, even 10 people, especially, you know, if we go to a big conference and there's hundreds of people there and people are trying to meet investors and talking to them, everybody's talking about real estate. If you're talking about real estate too, nobody's going to remember you, most likely. You know, most of those conversations, people are not going to remember you. And you'll have time to talk about real estate, right? If you make the connection now, you know, if you really build or focus more on relationship right now, you'll have time to talk about business and relationship when that investor or that person's already forgotten about everybody else, right? And so I just stress, you know, like, and I've noticed in the beginning when I started networking a lot, it was, you know, talk about our mission, our passion, and helping families, you know, to adopt financially and all those things. And they could see the passion in me in that, you know, and helps. And then guess what? You know, a week later, a month later, they remember who we were, remembered who we were. And it just helps us, you know, then we can talk about real estate, right? You know, in business, but we've built that relationship. Tyler, tell us, you know, especially you'd be military and, you know, doing like 2 full-time jobs and family, all those things. I'd love to hear, what are some daily habits that you are disciplined about that have helped you achieve success?
Yeah, so I'm not perfect, but I do try to wake up at 4 most days. And I spend about an hour reading the Bible, reading my devotional. Right now, our small group is going through the Bible in 2 years. And so I've done it in a year before, and that's like a fire hose. You're reading like 10 chapters a day, and you're just like, oh my gosh. Especially then when you get to like books like Chronicles, where it's just genealogies, and you're just reading a bunch of people's names. So that can get a little dry. But this year we decided, the orders I'm on are 2-year orders. And so we're reading through it in 2 years. So by the time I leave, we'll have read through it again in 2 years. And so that's really the most important thing, is reading the Bible in the mornings for about an hour. I journal in the hour during that time as well. And that's something, if you don't journal, like, I would really encourage you to like do that kind of a thing for the listeners, because it is so cool peeling back your journals over the years and seeing like when you were specifically worried about something, and then boom, a year and a half later, that's when it got resolved or something like that. And so journaling is a huge part. And that's usually from 4 to 5:15. And then from 5:15 to about 9, I'm usually doing real estate, whether it's on phone calls with people on the East Coast or kind of running our analysis packets and doing that kind of a thing, answering emails, doing all that. And then from about 9 till about 3, I'm in my master's program. And so I'm kind of on a unique set of orders right now where I'm in school, I'm a full-time student. And so it's really afforded me a lot of different flexibility in my schedule. And so from about 9 till about 1500, 3 for you civilian folk out there, I do schoolwork. And so then after that, depending on if I have more calls that day, from about 15 to about 3 p.m. till about 5:30 p.m., I wrap up any kind of loose ends for the day. And I'm usually done with everything and try to be done with absolutely everything by 6. And so, yeah, 4 to 6, 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., typical day. And some days are longer, some days are shorter. But sure, if I could like template out like a perfect day, that's kind of how they all end up working.
One thing I really like there, and I want listeners to take from that, is that you have a structure, right? It's not always going to go like minute per minute, of course. But what I've just discovered over many years now of trying to, you know, improve my morning routine, trying to be as efficient as possible, what's the best use of this time? You know, I know these specific things I like to get done very early in the morning. And, you know, like these things, these are approximately how long it takes. I mean, we've got 3 little ones. And so, that, you know, it didn't always, right, happen exactly like that. Even its own schedule gets mixed up. But you have a structure. And I know once I started, I put it on my calendar. Like, I put these like specific things on my calendar. So it's like, that helps me mentally to know, just to keep that time in mind, right? This is how long I have to do these things. These are the things I'm trying to get done. Or if I have to skip one, then I know how much time I have and know what I still need to get done, or flip a couple things around. But if you don't write it down, or if you don't have any kind of timeline to it, it's just kind of like you're just flying by the seat of your pants. You don't even know what time you need to be out of bed, you know, to get the things done. So what's the number one thing that's contributed to your success?
Man, it's people. It's support from my wife, support from my family. I call my dad all the time about, hey, I've got a good idea. This is a good idea. And he says, no, don't do that. And I go, okay, sounds good. And I'm kind of uniquely, my dad is a lawyer as well. So he does all of our legal for our business. And so it's really, we've been blessed to have that kind of a family member who can really kind of lend us not only experience, but also a little bit of bona fide legal advice. And so that's always nice. But yeah, it's people, and it's really just having that kind of network that's supportive of what we're doing. I think joining a mastermind was huge. I'm part of the War Room Mastermind. I know you interviewed Stu Grazier the other day, one of the guys that helped found that thing. And that has been huge for us to just kind of open up the world of possibility for us. Because that was something when we launched the business, we knew that we needed people in our lives that were doing bigger things than what we were doing at the moment. And so joining groups like that really helped show us, all right, yeah, you can flip houses from Monterey, California in Texas. Like, you can do that. It's like, you can be a part of a 384 unit syndication. Like, just because you're X, Y, or Z doesn't mean you can't do it. There's people out there. The saying my dad always says is there's dumber people than you doing it.
That's a good one right there. That is a good one.
Very rarely are you the dumbest person doing something. There's usually somebody who's like at least one notch below whatever it is you're doing. And so that's something that kind of has stuck with me a little bit in a funny way. It's like, very rarely are you going to be the least equipped person in the room to do something. You might not be the absolute best, but you're not going to be the worst. There's usually somebody who's below you. And if you are the worst, then there's nowhere to go but up, right?
No, that's awesome. There's nowhere to go but up, no doubt about it. And if most of us worked at it a month, you're going to be a step above somebody, right? You know, that's not taking it to the same level or working at it as hard or whatever that may be. No, you know, and Tyler, I ask every guest how you like to give back. I feel like, you know, we have focused on that a lot because it's so important, you know, in our business. You know, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about just how to get a hold of you, how to learn more about it, but then also, you know, just share again how to learn more about how you all are giving back and just the focus on human trafficking.
Like I said earlier, our big goal is to be able to give away $1 million a year in active income and 100,000 in passive. And I love what you guys do with your 50% number. I think that's incredible. Like, there's not many people that give that much money away. And for us to get to that $1 million number, what we're planning on doing is kind of reverse taxing ourselves to the point where you give away 100, you get 10%. Once you hit that $200,000 mark, that's 20% off that. And so you're giving away 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, up until you're giving away everything. And so that kind of caps our income at about 450 grand, which is more than enough to live on. That's crazy. And so, especially when you do real estate, right? Because you can leverage that money. And just because your active income is at 450 doesn't mean that you're going to really cap yourself there if you're giving away everything else above and beyond that. And so that's kind of our giving strategy, is to kind of reverse tax ourselves in that way to get to that million.
How can people get in touch with you and learn more about you?
Yeah, so you can get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I'm really active on LinkedIn. Or you can go over to our website, ltginvestments.com. And that's a really good way to get a hold of us. You can get on our newsletter. I use my code to kind of run an analysis of the U.S. housing market every month. And so that's really what our newsletter is it'll give you a good quick snapshot of what the U.S. housing market's doing, what's looking like, all the kind of the big numbers and indicators and some economic data as well. And then it's also how we communicate investment opportunities to folks if we have stuff coming up that needs funding or just other opportunities. And then if you go on both those places, you'll find Unbound everywhere. So it's one of those things where their website's unboundnow.org, and that's a good way to just go directly to them. But if you get lost, you can always click on my profile, and you should, if I continue to stay on my fourth tier, you'll see everything we advertise usually point back towards Unbound in some way. So.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.